as long as when I wake up every day, I have direction, I have drive, and I have motivation. So I'm waking up with set things that I know I have to do each day. Mm-hmm. There's been times in my life when I have no direction, injuries, etc. Mm-hmm. And that takes away your drive. Yeah. And then obviously straight away takes away your motivation. I have a huge emphasis on competing. So even if I get old and grey, I still want to be able to compete at some kind of level and just keep ticking along. And I feel just having those little goals, if you can keep ticking along, keep resetting your goals when you achieve your goals, life's good.
Welcome to Trujectory, the podcast committed to helping you step into your true path, your purpose work. There is nothing better than being able to do what you love every single day and to get paid for it. I lived many years of my life working jobs that didn't align with me, and I know how rough that feels. I want to see as many people as possible stepping into the work that truly lights their soul on fire. This is your space to come and be reminded that you can create the life that you're dreaming of and to learn exactly how to do it. This is your space to be inspired by those who have been bold enough to follow their passions and have created their dream life because of it. If you're ready to stop playing small, stop holding yourself back, and start aligning with your trajectory, let's do it. Let's roll, hey?
Take two.
Thanks for doing this.
My pleasure.
You're a legend. Duke, for anyone who has not already gotten involved with Progression in Canberra, is the head coach and creator of this epic establishment. It is the place that has made me start going to the gym again, so that pretty much says everything you need to know, unless you have no idea that I haven't been to the gym in like 10 years. So thank you so much for all that you do.
And
my pleasure. How you doing today?
Going good. Going good? Tired, but happy.
You've been going since what, 5?
Yeah.
Maybe earlier?
Yeah, you're up at I don't know, 5:20, and then do my training, then back to coaching, and then a few more sessions coaching tonight, but that's okay. When I'm like
still
this,
smiling.
Yeah, I'm tired, but I'm always happy. I might when I've got my purpose and my drive, it's all right. It's when I don't have that, that's actually when I'm not happy. So you might be more relaxed and less tired, but it's not as good.
Yeah, and I love that. And that's why I wanted to get you on the podcast, because basically this podcast is about showing people who might have a dream. They might have something that they really want to do, but they're doubting themselves and they're going, it's just going to be too hard. It's not worth it, you know, taking that leap. Getting people like yourselves on board to go, no, look at what you can actually create when you back yourself. So I really want to get into that today.
100%.
I'm so excited. So, I mean, like I said, you're the perfect example of doing what you love. So what is a typical day like for you? Like literally, what are the hours that you're doing at the moment?
Yeah, so it sort of varies a little bit each day to day, but as a general day, I'll get up, I'll train my conditioning sessions, maybe add another session on after that. I've got a couple of lunch sessions on that I'll either train or coach, and then I coach in the evening. That's 4 days a week, 5 days a week, but I'm also training on Saturdays and coaching on Saturdays. So I'll coach varying between 2 and 5 hours a day, and then I'll train 2 sessions a day.
Yeah, because so, you've got a fight coming up.
Yeah,
you're
fighting in Bangkok. It's not announced yet. Don't have an opponent announced,
okay. But
I've signed the contract. So I'm fighting over there with ONE Championship, so that'll be good. So that's just put a little bit of a more emphasis on everything I'm doing. But that was the whole reason I opened this place was to be able to still do what I love, which is competing. So I'm still able to compete, but also still able to sort of focus on coaching and building what we've got here as well.
Yeah, that's what I love. And I'm loving watching you do that because you're inspiring the hell out of me, honestly.
I'm glad my grumpy ass is inspiring.
Even though you're doing so much, you must be exhausted half the time. But I've watched you for the last year, because luckily I came on pretty much when you guys opened.
Early.
I moved back to town right as you opened.
Good timing.
Thank you. But on top of all of the stuff you already do, now I've watched you ever since this fight has been booked go from Duke, who's already big, to fucking Duke. So like, that's so much extra work that you're adding to the roster. So what's the mindset? Like, what do you tell yourself to get yourself in like Hulk mode?
Yeah, flick the switch sort of thing. So this last year, a lot of the members like yourself, they haven't really seen what sort of helped me get to where I am, which was what I'm doing now.
Yeah, we see the photos.
I was a lot more happy and a lot less tired, but Yeah, last year did feel like there was sort of a little bit missing. I still got to do a little bit of competition, but not to the level that I have done for the last, you know, 20 years. So it was sort of a little bit of a lull while I was building this place, but we built it, and now I've had the opportunity to sort of get back to what I was doing. The drive is basically, I just need to keep doing it. Like, I just, once I've got a sort of thing in my head that this is what I want to do, it's really, really easy to get out of bed. I find it, if I've got that end goal, the little sessions and the wear and the tear, even though I might be dragging my ass sometimes, I'll make sure I get in and do it. And I think that kind of leadership really rubs off on hopefully my members, but definitely the fire team that I'm bringing through and things, because there's no point in me trying to say, telling my guys to, oh, this is what I think you should do, or you should be doing this, and then not doing it myself. So I've been trying to lead from the front as much as possible in this place, and this last couple of months has been a good example of that.
Yeah, I love that. I'm a big fan of that. Action so much louder than words.
100%,
I can't wait to see you actually fight, because I mean, oh my God.
But are they going to
stream it or anything?
Yeah, it'll be on Channel 7.
Oh, yeah. Amazing. Yeah, okay. See, I haven't seen this side of you at all. Like, I've just seen businessman do who's just like, getting shit done. So how long had you been thinking about creating this place before it actually came to fruition?
So originally I was never going to get into coaching. I was always sort of kept my work life and then my sort of my sport life, I kept them separate. But when I was down in Melbourne, I was down there training, and I was still working because I had a marketing degree. So I was still working jobs that sort of related to office work, or might not have been the highest level in near the end there because I was more focused on training, but I was still working office-based jobs that had no relation to what I was doing. And then COVID hit, and that job sort of wasn't available. And instead of looking for another job like that, I got offered a coaching gig. And I thought, okay, well, this will be all right. I'll do this, because I was sort of at the point where I needed it. It wasn't out of my love of coaching. It was, I sort of needed the job. And I took the opportunity, and then I worked out, can be firstly very rewarding, and I quite liked it. But then I realized that I could actually make a living out of doing this. And I went, how much cool is making a living out of doing this, what I'm best at on the planet, as opposed to me, I always coming through when I was growing up, I'd be in trouble at work because I would be prioritizing my career, my fight career, not my work career. And then that sort of balancing act was just creating, my fight career suffered because I was too busy working full time, and then my work career suffered because I didn't really prioritize work in my head. So instead of this balancing act, I sort of went all in. And when I went all in, the moment I went all in, it sort of clicked for me. And so I did that for about 2 years in Melbourne. I was coaching, private training. I was going to different gyms and having an opportunity to coach some of the best gyms in Australia, some of the most established gyms down in Melbourne, which was awesome. I was training at a pretty established gym. And so during that period there was sort of when I had the idea that I was always going to come back to Canberra. And I thought, if I do it, actually, maybe there'd be a hole in the market here for something like this, something unique that has the offer for multi-program facility. And I've been a part of a few multi-program facilities in the past, and I thought that'd be a really, really good opportunity to sort of do one here. And I keep getting told that it's different to anything Canberra's had. And it's like, I didn't make up any of the programs we have. But I think we've put our own little flair on it. We've made it work with some great coaches that have sort of come in at the very start. I'm very lucky. Some of my closest friends were all sort of top of their fields in the programs that we run. So like Callum and I, we were talking on the phone all the time anyway as mates. And it sort of came up that, you know, this was an opportunity that I'm going to come back and do this. And he was straight in. And same with Bo, our boxing coach. And we're mates. We've been knowing each other for years. And I told him, he'd never coached before. And similar, I said personality is more important than personality and kindness.
Connecting
if you're not kind and you don't care, I don't care how good a coach you are, it's not going to work. So that was sort of the emphasis that we sort of tried to build the place.
I love that. I love that and I'm a firm believer of this, when you do actually follow your passion, which will lead you to your purpose work, which is what you've done, the universe will conspire to help you. 100%, and it'll bring all of these different elements in, and you're like, whoa, whoa, everything's just falling into place.
Well, that's what I mean. And it's like I've said here before, it doesn't feel like I'm working very often. Like, very rarely do I feel like I'm working. And because of that, it means I bring so much more enthusiasm and energy.
Yes.
And there's no clock on, clock off for me.
Mm-hmm. You're not counting down till Friday.
That's the thing. Mondays are one of my favorite days of the week.
Yeah.
I love coaching here Saturday mornings. It's the energy here on Saturday mornings with the kids' class, and we've got women's boxing, the fitness, and then my jiu-jitsu after that. It's just really, really wholesome, and I really quite like it. So I love coaching Saturday mornings. Mm-hmm. And Monday is one of my best days of the week. So it sort of takes that traditional 9 to 5 and, you know, looking forward to the weekends, and that's gone.
It's all
and
gone.
I think that's pretty much, if you can find what you really, really, truly love, then that's what happens. You don't live for the weekends anymore.
Yeah, 100%.
And you're happy to answer your phone whenever you need. With, you know, like, I'm very accessible with my members and with my students. I'm happy to always give my time up, because it's something I enjoy talking about. And whether that be not even the martial arts side of it, if just helping people out, I'm always here. You know, I'm not an expert on life, but I'm always here, as available to be able to sort of just help people and utilize what I'm best at to sort of help them with what they need. So.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. And I mean, I love how much it's evolved already just in a year.
Yeah,
even
it's crazy,
you've added the ice bath and the sauna, which is it's almost a trend at the moment, which is fantastic, but it's so important for the body that we didn't know about for so long.
100%. And if I did this 10 years ago, we wouldn't have even thought about doing that. And it was something, again, when I was down there training, and because I'm still sort of training and doing this full time as an athlete, I'm more likely to be able to, you know, upgrade this facility as much as possible, because I've got my finger on the pulse with what not just my need personally, but what obviously is best for members and athletes for the facility.
Yes.
So I see a lot of facilities where the owner may be retired or may have never even been an athlete. So they sort of don't really value upgrading. But my philosophy is that if I can continually upgrade this place, the returns are tenfold anyway.
Yeah,
so I'm always going to be reinvesting. I'm not a guy that's putting large emphasis on money. So when it does come in, I try and reinvest it as much as I can.
The more you give, the more you receive.
And that's what I mean. And I think the thing is, if the facility starts to feel tired and old, well, then I'll be on top of it straight away. I think the uniqueness of here is that we're going to be able to continually evolve. And that evolution will hopefully bring in lots more members of our community. So,
yeah, definitely.
Hey, guys, I hope you're enjoying this episode and I hope you're getting a lot of value out of it. I would love to ask you to take just a couple of seconds out of your day to please rate and subscribe this channel. Whether you're on YouTube, on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, whatever streaming platform you're on, if you could take a couple of seconds to just rate and subscribe, I would be so, so, so grateful. That's going to really help us get our reach out a little bit further. It's going to help the amazing messages from my guests be heard by a larger audience, and we're going to be sharing a lot more perspective and advice and inspiration for those people who really need to remember that they can and will own and co-create the life that they want. You just need a little bit of motivation, a little bit of inspiration, and that's what I hope to provide here on Trujectory, the podcast. So please rate and subscribe. Thank you so much in advance. I really appreciate you tuning in, and I hope you have a beautiful day or night, depending on where you are. Mwah.
So I want to tap on a little bit more to your fight zone, because I'm just so fascinated by the mindset. So what is it like when you're actually about to go in the ring? What are you saying to yourself? How are you? Or is this like secret?
No secrets. I'm sort of, so before I go to compete, I'm sort of trying to calm myself down. I'm trying to think about other things. The moment you sort of touch gloves and go to fight, okay, that's when you switch on and you're sort of just trying to rely on your training. And I'm trying to just tunnel my vision as much as possible to worry about what's in front of me. I'm a real scatterbrain. So I have about 50 voices in my head. So I have to try and just silence that, especially when there's a crowd and there's other things. And once I've been able to sort of hone in on that, I think it helps with my nerves as well.
Yeah.
Because I have been in the past had like big adrenaline dumps, and I think it's when I've sort of worked myself up too much. So I focus on really mellowing my brain. And if I can just do that and focus on relaxing, that sort of usually ends with a better result on the mats.
Yeah, amazing. So that taps into my next question. Is there any sort of regular practice that you do that's more catering to your mind than your body? Because you obviously take care of your body in all the ways. Is there anything you do to really like get your mind right?
Yeah, well, I'm just really aware of that during my training. So I'm really aware of what I'm thinking about and how that, when I'm training, it's not just training for the body. You've got to be training for the event that you're doing or with your mind.
Yeah.
So that kind of, you know, mental silencing and focusing on being able to flow, if you can carry that over, once you've mastered that at your training, you can carry it over in live competition, then you're sweet.
Yeah.
But also with mental stuff, it's all about like making sure you get out of bed. If you set some, if you say you're going to do something, do it. And that's
so
the idea.
Important,
And no one's going to know, especially now that I'm running my own facility. I've got coaches, but the coaches aren't as much managing me as I've had in the past, where I've had a sort of a coach and I've just been a soldier on the mats. Whereas now I'm sort of mapping out my own program a little bit more.
Yeah.
So if I did decide to miss a session, the only person that's going to know really is me.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, I have to be even more disciplined than I've ever been in my life.
Yeah.
Because whilst no one's going to know, it's going to have a really, really dramatic effect on my performance if I start skipping sessions.
Yeah, absolutely. I've noticed that with myself just even since I moved here and started working out.
Yeah.
It's the discipline. You've got to be 100%. Able to stick to it.
And the other thing is you play little tricks on your brain. You know once you get in, it's not as bad as you're ever going to make it out to be.
And you feel amazing afterwards,
and,
always.
And I always do, like if I'm really flat, I'll always talk myself into it going, I'll just go and do the bare minimum.
Yeah.
By the time you get there, you don't do the bare minimum.
You don't want to cheat yourself.
You sort of trick yourself just to get in the doors. But the biggest challenge I think a lot of people have is just making sure you get in. It's like people looking to start, the biggest challenge is coming up the stairs. Once they're up the stairs, they find out that no one here is very terrifying, and it's a pretty warm and welcoming culture and warm and welcoming community, and then it's all fun. So it's just about breaking through those little mental barriers, and time off is a big one. When people have time off, myself included, the longer you have off, the more you have it in your head that there's all these hurdles to come back. When you come back, you're like, oh, firstly, no one's there mad at me for leaving.
Yeah.
Secondly, it wasn't that hard.
Yeah.
Like, what was I thinking? Why didn't I come back earlier?
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I've had that. A lot of mental barriers. A lot of people have those mental barriers. So.
Yeah, definitely. So I want to go back a little bit. When it came to this space and you were like, I'm going to go all in, and you moved from Melbourne back home to Canberra going, there's probably a gap in the market. How long did it take to find this space and get this sort of built and set up? And were there obstacles? Like, how was that process?
Yeah, so it took a little over probably a year and a half. So it took us a couple of months to find the facility, and then it took over a year to fit it out. I was lucky because my dad, who he helped fit out most of this, he was doing it sort of on the weekends, and I was coming up but just doing bibs and bobs. So we had access to the facility for a little longer than a lot of other people when it came to the fit out. But during that whole period, that was when I was sort of planning and asking a lot of questions on basically procedures. And I was in a very good position where I'm at these gyms already.
Yeah, true.
So I'm already
just like clocking
I asked so many questions, and that was probably one of the best things that I did. I asked questions, didn't necessarily mean I did exactly what everyone did. And I'm also lucky, one of my best friends down in Melbourne, Sam Hayward, he's opening a gym almost at the same time that I did. So we were able to bounce off each other really well. And I encourage anyone that's doing this sort of thing, have people to bounce off. Because whether or not you do what they say, it's just about being able to verbalize what you're doing. And so when it came to the planning of here, I sort of had I armed and armed about things like name and branding, and we got there eventually. And then it came to sort of the way it looks. And that all sort of started to unfold pretty quickly. And then once I had my color scheme and things like that, it all sort of ticked off. Making the timetable, making sure the coaches were all on board and things like that. I had a couple of months there to sort of get that going. And then I moved back in December, and I had December and January to really, like, I just worked here day in, day out for about 60 days. And I sort of almost forgot why I was here. I was like, just felt like I was labouring on it.
But
it was all worth it now, because now, like, you mean, you look around and it's always so nice and clean, and we don't have have to really worry about, you know, doing much more manual labour.
Yeah, but, honestly. And it does look like, it looks amazing. I loved taking some footage earlier because it's just so, like, visual eye candy. I love the, whose idea was this?
Me.
The octagon.
This was all me. I was big because I've trained in gyms for my whole life. And a lot of the gyms I train in, I put no emphasis on aesthetics.
Yeah.
And I'm a big aesthetics guy. Mm. And I've sort of wanted, I said, the more I can make it feel like a nightclub, the better.
100%.
And the other thing that I found really important was I made sure there was only a couple of base colors here.
Yes.
And a lot of gyms put no thought into that. I don't know if that's just how my brain works.
Marketing brain.
Yeah, marketing brain, branding colors, you know, your themes. And I went with, you know, your black, your white, your green, and not many other colors. And the nice timber trim. But other than that, didn't really want too many more colours, and I was very particular. You don't notice the particular colours until you talk to Cal, and it'll be like, when we look to get gym equipment, I'm like, oh, we can't get that, it's red. Can't get that, it's yellow.
Right.
And
it's sort of, there's a lot of thought that goes into
that. So a lot of stuff like that. It took a bit of time, but we got there. And now, you know, we've sort of really got a real theme now, so you wouldn't be able to put any equipment in here that didn't sort of
make them up.
And so I give thought to a lot of that. When I'm buying equipment, I go, how's it look? I wouldn't buy anything that doesn't suit what's here. And I think that sort of flow actually helps with, you know, people relaxing and having fun in here as well.
Because
if it's nice, and, you know, my house isn't as, like, it's never been as clean as here, but I make sure that kind of stuff is really, really important. So,
Well, I appreciate that very much. I'm all about the I'm a very visual person, so I always feel nice clean. And I love the stairs. It's a long way to the top if you want. Was that planned? I always wonder that. Did you plan the amount of stairs that you put?
No, we just got lucky. I saw... I wrote down the words and I went, I bet you it won't fit. And it fit. And the moment I knew it fit, I did it the next day. Because I was like,
I always wonder about that moment. Like, was it like a...
It was a good day, I was very happy. Yes, it was.
Yes!
Yeah, I went, yes, good, doing it. And went and got the lettering.
Okay, so I want to ask the final three questions. Yep. So basically, I feel like we often look at other people's qualities and we praise other people for the way that they are, whether it's mindset, whether it's physical, whatever, but we don't often take the time to look at ourselves.
Yep.
So what are three qualities about yourself that you really like?
All right.
Take your time. I know this can be hard for some people, but it's because we don't usually do this for ourselves. You know what I mean?
I definitely think loyalty. Mm. I think loyalty is an important one, and I feel like I've had that attribute.
Yeah.
Definitely. Hardworking, and I think creative as well. I think those three things sort of, I like to think outside of the box as much as possible. Sometimes attention to the detail is like, my attention to detail is off the charts, and then sometimes I like glaze over very important aspects of my life. So I don't know, but I definitely think that sort of the way, you know, my experience and everything, the way my brains work now has really fit this sort of industry that I'm in now. So it's really good that I can hone on that. And and like I said, loyalty and kindness are something that really, really important. And just being able to, you know, understand people, and not everyone's going to have the same sort of level of fitness or the same confidence. And I've sort of been aware of that from the start. And with that kindness comes such a warm and inviting culture. And I've started that at the top. And I make sure, especially in the more intimidating sports that we do, mixed martial arts and Brazilian jiu-jitsu and boxing, I said, the new people, I encourage my older heads to be kind to the new people. And then those new people will be kind to the next people that come through. And that fosters culture.
I appreciate hearing that, because I'm about to... join.
You had to have a crack at the jiu-jitsu?
I'm going to try it out.
Fantastic, yeah.
I've been waiting to get to the point where I feel like I'm strong enough.
Yeah.
And I'm still not feeling like I'm strong enough necessarily, but we'll
have
see.
A go,
and just
yeah.
watching today.
Our girl squad need a few more.
Yeah.
They're outnumbered there, so definitely come on. Yeah, yeah. Try it out.
That'd be awesome. Okay, so what is your definition of living in your purpose? If you could sort of simplify it, what is it to you?
Living in my purpose. So as long as when I wake up every day, I have direction, I have drive, and I have motivation. So I'm waking up with set things that I know I have to do each day. Mm-hmm. There's been times in my life when I've had no direction due to whatever reasons. I've had no direction, injuries, etc. Mm-hmm. And that takes away your drive, yeah. And then obviously straight away takes away your motivation. And then that's when you hit your lowest points. So if I wake up every day looking to to do something to the best I can. And I have a huge emphasis on competing. So even if I get old and grey, I still want to be able to compete at some kind of level and just keep ticking along. And I feel just having those little goals, whether they be small or big, if you can keep ticking along, keep resetting your goals when you achieve your goals, life's good.
I love that. And you've made me want to ask one question before the final one. Confidence. What do you think it is that really bolsters and supports confidence? What is it that's created your confidence the most?
Knowledge and experience. Mm. Knowledge and experience. So you can't fake confidence. Well, you can, but it's very obvious. Mm. So if you build up your knowledge, you'll create your confidence. If you build up your experience, you're going to have confidence. Mm-hmm. And I see that with especially my kids' program. Some of the more shy people in the adults program, they build their confidence up and they build as a human based on the fact that they're learning more about the sport that they're sort of invested in. Mm-hmm. And with that, they open up more as a human as well, which is pretty cool.
I love that. Yeah. Really, really relate to that. So final question, let's imagine now you go back to the old job that you were in when you were sort of, not really there mentally. Imagine for people who are still in those jobs going, I'm counting down till Friday, every day is sucky, I don't want to get out of bed. I have this dream, but I don't know what to do about it. What is your advice for them?
Yeah, 100%. And like I said, I've lived that life for longer than I probably wish I did. Yeah. And it would be, honestly, it would be start planning, start being as disciplined as you are with whatever you're doing to make sure you get out of that. Mm-hmm. Don't just continually, if you do what you always have done, you'll get what you've always got. So you have to break that sort of monotonous cycle. Break the cycle, and whether that be, but don't overthink it as well. Sometimes if you overthink it, because the goal's so large, you'll become overwhelmed. But if you set smaller goals, okay, I'm gonna this, if whatever you wanna do to leave the industry that you're in, okay, this week I'm going to start my website.
Yeah.
Or this week I'm going to get the logo done for my new business or my new goal that I'm going to do. If you can do that and you get that little goal done, it'll motivate you to get the next goal done and the next one and the next one. But if you look at it like, oh, and then I've got to do this and I've got to get this and I need to get an ABN and I've got to do this. Yeah. And you're like, you know what?
Too much.
It's too much. And that's the same for anyone. So if you can just write it all down step by step. Mm-hmm. And come up with a little, maybe some dates that you have to get it done by, and just try and knock a few things out, and talk to people that are in doing what you want to do.
Yeah, that's a big
and
one.
And ask them how they did it.
I love that. There's a few great pieces in there. Thank you.
No worries.
So how can people get in touch with you? Tell the peoples.
ProgressionMMA.com.au. We offer something for everyone here, so come on. If you have any questions, we've got an email or jump on the Instagram or Facebook and flick us a message on there.
Do it. They're freaking awesome here. Thank you so much, bro.
My pleasure. No
Legend.
Worries.
Done. Awesome.
Easy. Woo!